Good evening. The elders asked me to come forward tonight and to make sure I get this buttons going correctly. They asked me to come forward tonight to present our budget to us and to discuss that with us just briefly. And there's a budget sheet that's available that the men have passed out. If you don't have one, if you wanted to raise your hand, I believe someone can get you one, that to make that information known to you. But also, just wanted to think about what Jesus said about our treasure. Because when I think about the treasury of the congregation, I also think about my own money, I think about the church's money, and the elders have put a lot of thought into the budget this year and into our treasury. Because as Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Tonight we're going to look for just a few minutes at our treasury funds and where they are going. So when you look at this slide, I don't know if you can see this very well. This is a summary of what you have in your handout, sort of the top half. You can see the main works of the church and the main efforts that we are supporting or that we plan to support this year, which is pretty similar to what we supported last year in terms of these areas and these resources. And then when you go to the sort of the bottom half of the page, you can see the totals and sort of what all that adds up to. And one thing that you probably have noticed there on that sheet and perhaps on the board at the back as you exit is that we've got a higher budget established this year. The budget for this year has been set considerably higher than it was last year, aligned with the goals that we have for the things that we like to be able to accomplish. And yet, the budget, I think, is realistic because it actually is very close to what we were able to collect and what we actually spent last year. So we're not exceeding our limits, but we are setting that budget at the higher figure that we really need to have, the elders think, to function the way that they wish for us to do. When you go back, though, to the details and begin to really think about it, as I said earlier, the elders put a lot of focus onto this, and for the last 1.5 or 2 years especially, we've been trying to study how to better use the funds that are collected and how to make sure that when we're accountable to God and when we answer to God for what we've done with those funds, that we've not wasted them, but that we've used them in a way that was beneficial to His mission and beneficial to His goal. And depending on how you add which figure and what figure and et cetera, but when you summarize these figures, you'll see that roughly about 53% of what we collect and what we plan to spend goes into preaching and teaching of the gospel. And that includes all sorts of missionary works, Eastern European missions where we give out Bibles or make Bibles available to school children in the former Soviet bloc who otherwise could never have them, to ideas such as a fairly new idea for us, which is to support a young man in preaching school. And when you think about it, what's the potential long-term benefit of that? Thousands or millions of souls, perhaps in eternity, from that one decision. So roughly about 53% of our funds goes to these sorts of efforts. That's where the largest portion of our treasure goes, is to supporting these works. Search TV, some of the local items, the Spanish ministry at Greer. Of course, we've supported the mission works over in India recently and also some mission works from Brother Farr in the Dominican Republic, not to mention Brazil. Later on, I guess I have it in one of my later slides, but Brazil is roughly 10% overall of everything that we spend out of that 52% that I'm talking about. Brazil is the largest portion. The Jabo effort and the work that we do there, and got Brother Matt here with us tonight, I see, but But the works that we support there are they're the largest portion by far of any single item that we support. But then, unfortunately, we still have to pay our bills. And so perhaps the next largest portion is this 38% that you see on the screen. And that's where we pay our bills. That's where we make improvements to the building, which help upbuild the church here, help make things possible, such as podcasts and webcasts and sound systems, but also to where, you know, the HVAC gets repaired when it breaks down, and the septic system is repaired and replaced, and the sign out front gets replaced when the truck knocks it over. Things that you didn't quite plan for, as you know, that happen at your house. So we have to pay for these things, and we pay the men and women that do these works that we hire, and so we, by rights, must pay them. And so that's a fairly substantial portion of where our treasure goes, and yet it's for good things as well. These areas all together, when you combine them, make up about 90% of what we spend our treasury on. And then the other 10% are also important. Benevolent works is very important, and something that perhaps is a quiet story and is not shared often. And yet, you know, when those funds are shared with someone who needs medicine, or someone who needs food, or someone who needs clothing, that's hard to describe, you know, how much that means to that person. It's like I think Dustin was talking about the starfish this morning. And it matters to that person a tremendous amount. And so those are very important needs as well. And all of these needs are made possible because of you. Because the congregation here gives and enables us to do these things, to support these mission works, to support these missionaries, this young preacher who's learning that skill, and the podcasts and the Bibles going to the Soviet Union. None of that would be possible without you. Without your giving, we would have to scrap the whole plan and start over. So thank you so much. We wanted to thank you so much for, and we thank God. I pray and I thank Him for you. And I thank Him that He enables me to do my job easier through you. Because now we're able to support these things, that these needs that come along that we know are very strong and very much needed. So that's the presentation for tonight. Just wanted to bring these thoughts to you. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer those, or the elders are very familiar with this budget. There's a lot more detail behind it if you want to see, and we'll be glad to share that with you. So thank you.
In case you haven't noticed, a little bit different format tonight. So if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. But we wanted to make known to you our plans for the upcoming year. And somehow I got sandwiched between Chuck, who has the great slides and is a great speaker, and Michael, who has the great slides and a great speaker. I don't have any slides. Sorry. You just have to listen to me. But probably first and foremost, the elders want to thank Chuck. You guys do not know how much we depend on him. He works very hard, and Linda can attest to that, putting together the budget, working with the treasury. He does a lot, and he's to be thanked from the elders, and especially from this congregation, but he's done a super job, and we appreciate it very much. And then again, I want to publicly thank Dustin. It's been a year and a half, and I think this congregation has grown spiritually, and for that we're truly thankful. So I want to take this time, as we're doing this, to thank Dustin for all his work, and of course Julie and the girls. They're the big part of his life, so we appreciate that very much. But I want to spend a little time tonight talking about our goals for 2017 and look back on some of the accomplishments of 2016. Now, some people will categorize this as the mission or the vision of the church. And let's don't get those confused. The mission of the church is to go out in the world and preach the gospel. The vision is our goals for this year. So I don't want to get confused. I'm not really hung up on the word vision. I don't necessarily like that, but I understand that's what this is. But some of the goals we have for 2017 and looking back on what we had done in 2016. There are things within a local congregation, that's what I want to bring up, that are physical in nature that we have to take care of. And we want to draw your attention to that and bring some of those issues that we can discuss tonight. But we want to talk about some of the physical things that we've done here in the congregation in the past year, and then look at some things we want to do. If you've noticed in the back, we've used better, have better use of our tracks and DVDs. A family here within the congregation has been very generous in donating those. Those are up to date. They're great for evangelism, for your own family, and for those in the community. So a better upgrade to our tracks and DVD board in the foyer. Many of you have noticed the upgrades in the IT area. Now, that's an area that I have no idea what we're talking about. But I can tell you this. We've got microphones now. We've got a new projector right up here that's working really well. We've got a new computer in the back. Two new mics, that's the speakers. A lot of work has been done on our website. And for those men that have worked with that, we are truly thankful. Also, there is Wi-Fi available in the building, not to get on your phones and play, but you could pull up your Bibles, that type of thing. So that has been made available within the main building. And we've used podcasts, as Chuck was mentioning, and other things by streaming our services. It's helped us average about 6 listeners during our worship service, and we've had as many as 16. So those are people that we're reaching that can't be here for some reason, or maybe they're visitors to our website. So we're thankful for that. There's been numerous building upgrades. If you've been in the educational building, you know that upstairs has been just about totally remodeled. There's a lot of paintings that's been going on in the educational building. The bathrooms have been remodeled. If you've been in the annex, there's been some upgrades down there. We've got a food warmer that the women seem to really like, which is a great thing. There's some changing tables in the bathrooms now. We've got so many babies. That's a good thing. How about this? You remember in the summertime when we lost our air conditioner? Well, that was replaced. So that was a needed upgrade. And also the sewer systems. You know we've had difficulties with the drain field down here. Those things have been taking place. Those things have been improved. Those are things that we don't think about. As Chuck talked about, your generous contributions. There are a lot of things here that we want to do. Our mission is to preach the gospel, to seek and save the lost. But there are things that we have to undertake here as a congregation. So that's just some of the upgrades that I want to talk about. I also want to talk about some new things that we want to do. We recognize there's many more improvements that need to be done. We talked tonight about a copier. Michael and I have talked before, and we're in the process of purchasing a new copier, whether it's a lease or whatever, but want to get that done. We've talked about new flooring in the annex. You know, we had the flood there a year ago or something like that, and there's a debate if we do carpet or we do linoleum, but that'll be handled. But we're looking to update that. Also, we spoke tonight, and we've talked a great deal of length about a new directory. We've got a lot of new families. A lot of families have added members. A lot of families have lost members. Because their kids grew up and moved away or had babies or that type of thing. So we want to look at ways of doing a new directory. And we talked with Patrick tonight, and there's some works that will be taking place there. So keep that in mind. We also understand a need to upgrade the security in our building. We're looking at ways of better lighting in our parking lot, whether fix the lighting that's there or add additional lightings. We've also, and we talked with the deacons tonight, about improving our security, whether locking doors, that type of thing. And we would love to talk about replacing some of the playground equipment that's down there. We've reached out to some others about investigating that, so don't forget about that. We want to improve that. We understand that need. So finally, what I have is although much has been done, there's still a lot of work to do. The elders have made a commitment and asked the deacons to do the same, on doing more for the cause of Christ this year. As Dustin spoke about this morning, We are a family, and we need to act in unison and as one family. Appreciate it. Now Michael has something.
Good evening. I too want to echo Mike's thoughts. We're very thankful for you as a congregation for the what you mean to us and the things that you've helped us accomplish this past year and years past even that. The things that we were able to do would not be available or wouldn't be possible without your generosity and your support for the church and your desire to spread the gospel in this area, and we're very thankful for that. Tonight, for my part of the presentation, I'm going to be discussing some more, a few more things concerning spiritual matters that we're going to be participating in, spiritual matters that I think that are appropriate for our congregation that you know about, things that are important for us as Christians. Before we do that, let's all go to God in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day and the blessings you've given to us. Father, for the blessings we have through thy Son Jesus, who came to this earth as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, that through him, through the shedding of his blood, we have a hope of eternal life with you. Father, we realize that in order to obtain that salvation, we must do those things that are necessary according to thy will. Father, we pray that each one of us would dedicate our lives and our hearts to doing those things that would be pleasing in thy sight, standing for the truth where necessary, showing love where necessary, but always being the example that you would have us to be. All these things we ask if it be thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me see if I can figure this out here. There you go. If you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. A very common, probably well-known verse to most people. I felt it important to read that out loud. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 19, the Bible reads, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, and even to the end of the world." Evangelism of home and abroad is something that, as Brother Chuck alluded to, we consider to be very important. It is where most of our focus is. Mike and I have made a conscious effort to make sure that we are doing our part to spread the borders of the kingdom, whether it be locally or whether it be abroad. And we would like to have you help and participate in that as well. Helping spread the good news of salvation can be accomplished in several ways. We have opportunity to do it ourselves, or we have the means to support others who are willing to do it as well. We've been very blessed here at Augusta Road to be able to do both. One of our main focuses this year is to increase our efforts and our outreach, and in our support for those trying to reach the lost. As I'm sure most of you know, we support Brother Drew Suttles as he studies to become a minister at the Memphis School of Preaching. And part of his commitment is that he dedicates the majority, if not most of his time, to study and preparation to become a faithful gospel preacher. I'm sure you all can agree that this past January 1st, Brother Drew showed up and did a great job, and he's well on his way. And we're thankful for that, and it's truly a blessing. The schoolwork requires 2 years of his commitment, or 2 years of his time, and we've committed to support him during those 2 years. We've also been approached by another gentleman who will soon be attending the Memphis School of Preaching, something we're seriously considering, and if we are able, we will let the congregation know, obviously, that we will be participating in helping that young man as well. The elders believe this is a wonderful, absolutely wonderful way to put the Lord's money to use, preparing young men, or sometimes not so young men, to preaching the gospel. And by extension, we don't know how many people they will touch or come in contact with that will be led to the gospel of Christ. And that's the whole point of helping these young men. Also, we're involved in an effort at the White Horse Road Flea Market. Some of you may have heard this, some may not, but this is a wonderful and very worthwhile work that we participate in. If you've never been there, I would very much encourage you to go and participate. John chapter 4, verse 35, the latter part of that verse says, "The fields are white, all ready to harvest." Matthew 9, verse 37 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send four laborers into his harvest." The opportunity is there for us to help those who are very much in need of hearing the gospel. There are hundreds and hundreds of souls, thousands, millions of souls who are in need of salvation. And who else better to take that to those folks than us? A quick list of some of the things that have been accomplished in the efforts at the White Horse Road Flea Market in the past year. Approximately 500 correspondence courses have been mailed out in the last year. 500. Approximately 20 to 30 people now are actively involved in those courses. In the past year, one person has completed, well, I just got an update, two people have completed the course. And one precious soul has obeyed the gospel. Folks, let me tell you, that of all the things that are done, if we are able to save one soul, then it's well worth the effort. Well worth the effort. Our hope and prayer is that obviously more souls will be reached through this effort. And we can bring many more lost souls to Christ. One more piece of information. In the past year, approximately, now get this, some 10,000 pieces of biblical literature have been handed out through the efforts at the flea market. Some 10,000 pieces of biblical literature. Remember, it's our job to sow the seed. God makes that very clear. It's our job to sow the seed. The Lord gives the increase. There is very much a need for money, many more people to participate. Determining yourselves that 1 hour a day, twice a month, 1 hour once a month, whatever you can afford to do, I know the effort and those who go on a more regular basis will be more than happy to have you with them. The point is, let's all do our part to try to reach as many souls as we can possibly reach. As Brother Mac mentioned, the things we do for the audio streaming, we consider this very much a work in the spiritual realm of what we're supposed to do for God's Word. On our website, when we stream the sermons, and we do that every single service, we also stream every one of our classes here in the auditorium. Those are uploaded to the website for anyone who may be visiting the website to participate in or to listen to. It's another way to try to get God's Word out to a lost and dying world. Just to give you some numbers, some 4,200 hits on our website in the past year. 4,200 hits. And here's the good news. There's an average. The average user spends at least 30 minutes per visit when they go to the website. So by deduction, we can assume that they're listening one of Dustin's lessons. And that's a wonderful thing. Just some other information about the website. We have member sections with men to serve, song leaders, submissions. We also are able to promote our Bible classes on those things. So if someone happens to see our website, they can see what we're studying from God's Word. Maybe it will encourage them to attend. We're thankful for that. We also promote the latest sermon topics or the topics that are going to be discussed. As I mentioned, we record our sermons. There's calendars of events that the congregation can get involved in, sign-up sheets, all those kinds of things that are very much conducive to spreading God's Word. As it was mentioned earlier, we have a very prominent role, we consider, for the work in Brazil. We've been involved in the work in Brazil for several years, and about 7 years ago, give or take, we began our support primarily for the work in Jabô full-time, some 7 years ago. The gospel preacher there is a wonderful man named Eusebio Reyes, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, but Matt can correct me after. He is very much a tireless worker for the Lord's kingdom. The church in Jabô averages anywhere from 20 to 30 people in attendance. And as most of you know, part of our trip there last year was to begin the search for a new location that will eventually help the efforts in that work. Just so you know, and if I've mentioned this before, bear with me. And right now, where the congregation meets, it is a one-room building. So it's very difficult for them to have classes before or after services begin. So we want to try to help them in any way that we can. And it will be a work in progress, but we feel it's a very, very much a worthwhile work to help the brethren in that location. Last year, we participated with the brethren from the East Main congregation in Mississippi. It was a lecture-type event. And as was reported previously, we had some 350 visitors to that lectureship the Saturday of the event. And some over 450 people visited that Sunday service. We are planning on another trip in late June and early July. We will again participating in there. The first part of our trip will be door knocking and Bible studies, primarily in the Jabô area. The last part will be to participate in the lecture and try to help and encourage the brethren there. Something I think we should all be aware of. Because of the work that Eusebio has done, we felt it necessary and rightful that we increased his salary this past year. And I've gone through a legal process, for lack of a better word, to make it easier to spread God's word in that area. This will make it easier financially to do things in Brazil. We thought it was very much worthwhile to do. Hopefully it will pay dividends, and I'm sure it will down the road. I'm not sure if I'm up to date on my slides or not. Let me turn our attention to our education. One of our most important duties as elders is to make sure God's Word is taught, and not just taught, but taught correctly. Our goal is to equip each member with the knowledge they need to battle the evils of Satan and to help spread the borders of the kingdom. Our education program, we hope, is designed to do that. Just some information, we are considering a new curriculum for all of our classes. That is something we've discussed in the deacons' meeting, and that's something that we're seriously considering. We're looking for something that will challenge and equip both the students and the teachers. And just as a way of information, we encourage your suggestion for ideas on a new curriculum. Also, as a part of helping equip our students and teachers, we are trying to ensure God's Word is taught correctly. One of the most important things that we as elders can make sure happens. So, in that vein, we are in the process of developing a questionnaire to make sure we are as prepared as we can possibly be as teachers in our classes. I say we because everyone, Mac and I included, will need to take this questionnaire as we teach classes. We feel it's vitally important. We all speak the same things, and that our children are taught the things necessary to equip themselves according to Scripture. Just some other ideas on as far as education goes. We are considering some new classes, maybe one a quarter or even some new classes, extra quarters. But, for example, a ladies' class. A quick story. When I was a very young man attending a different congregation, and I just gotten married and practically off my honeymoon, they grabbed me by the shirt collar and said, "Michael, you're going to teach the ladies' class." Some very seasoned ladies in that class, and boy, was I intimidated. But you know what? It was one of the most wonderful experiences of my life, especially as a young man learning from these ladies. They probably taught me more than I ever taught them, I can promise you that. But we would very much like to participate in a ladies' class, if we can make that happen. Also a men's training class. A men's training class to help prepare young and old to do things that are necessary for the church. And I did miss a slide. Also possibly, and we've done this before, maybe a new convert class. For those who have just obeyed the gospel or are in need of first principle studies that will help in their development as a Christian. You see the slide up on the top. The first part of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Folks, knowledge is power. Knowledge makes us prepared for anything that the devil can bring to us. It helps us prepare to teach and bring many lost souls to the Lord. Also, Mac and I have met and discussed some other things we're going to try to do for the congregation as well. We've committed to making ourselves available to anyone who would need us. I hope everyone feels that way. If you need us for anything, whether you think it might be trivial or not, we're more than happy to listen, more than happy to help in whatever way possible. But also, as a way, we want to make sure the congregation is as informed as possible. We're planning to meet with the men and the women on alternating months, once a month. This will happen on a Sunday afternoon prior to worship service that Sunday evening. That will give anybody and everyone a voice if they have questions or concerns that need to be brought to our attention. So we will plan on doing that. First one will be in February. No time like the present. Will be February 26th, I think, is the date. And that will be for the ladies. So mark your calendars. February 26th, we will meet with all the ladies of the congregation, and it will help. And location probably here, but it may be in the small auditorium or the old auditorium in the old building. We can get that information to you sooner or later. If you will, turn to Acts chapter 20. Beginning in verse 26. Acts chapter 20. Beginning in verse 26. The Bible reads, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember. The responsibilities of being an elder of the Lord's church, something Mac and I take very seriously. We are charged with protecting the congregation that God has made us overseers of. We must ensure at all costs that the whole counsel of God is declared to you, so you may be prepared to defend yourselves against those who would do harm to you spiritually. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Bible reads, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Our responsibility is to help the congregation equip themselves not to be swayed by any doctrine that man may present, anything that may do harm to the doctrine of Christ, or be influenced by anything man would be willing to tell you. Also, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. Hebrew writer says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As most of you know, some 3 years ago, questions concerning the marriage, divorce, and remarriage were introduced into this congregation. The elders of this congregation believe that the Bible speaks of only one exception to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, save death of a spouse. That one exception allows the innocent party to be free to marry again. I point you to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. We'll read that together. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. While there are other examples in the Bible concerning this very important matter, we believe the Bible is very clear concerning this point. Those brethren of some 3 years ago who left our congregation have made it clear to us that they believe, that they're not, have not made it clear, that they believe that there is only one exception to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Let me say that again. Those who left our congregation have not made it clear that they believe that there is only one exception to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Several times, Mac and I have reached out to those brethren, and as of today, we have been unable to meet with those brethren and discuss this very important topic. We stand ready to discuss with those brethren so we can come to a better understanding of their stance on this very important matter. We hope and pray that they will come to a better understanding of what God says concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we ask that you pray for that matter as well. It's not something to be taken lightly. We hope to be able to reach those brethren and talk to them in a very short time. But it is something that is very important. While this has not been a very typical sermon, The Lord's invitation is always open to anybody who would respond. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism makes you a child of God. For those who have already been baptized, but have been drawn away by the cares and the desires of the world, you too have the opportunity to respond to the Lord's invitation. Whatever your circumstances may be, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.